Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for once again allowing us to be here this morning, Father. We ask you to be with each one of us, that you open our hearts, Father, our minds to your word, that through your word we may learn, Father, and understand your will, and that as we live our lives, we may live it, Father, in our daily lives, be able to practice your word in our lives. Thank you once again for all your blessings. Let this worship service, Father, be in spirit and in truth, that all honor and glory may be to you, Father. Watch over us, forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. What is Matthew chapter 7 about? It's the Sermon on the Mount. So this is Jesus preaching. Who's he preaching to? He's preaching to Jewish people because Scripture says that when he came, he had to come to the Jews because salvation was through the Jews first. And so it's something that we have to understand. It's not that God is only choosing the Jews, but since it was through them, and they were his chosen people, he had to come back to them and offer them reconciliation to God first. Because we read in Romans that there is in Christ, there is what? There is neither Jew nor Gentile. So this is what Christ is preparing to do. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And something that I learned from this lesson when I was preparing this lesson was that when Jesus, okay, this is what I was thinking, when Jesus was preaching to them, they were under what law? The law of Moses. And this is the simplest way to understand it, or at least this is the way I understand it. The law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So it was a physical law, according to Scripture. It could not save. It could not do what God had planned for mankind. And so we also said that the law was what? Was a schoolmaster, was something that brought them to Christ. Not only the Jews, but once again, what we just finished saying, the Gentiles. So God's plan of salvation was always for all mankind. And so when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he's reminding them of the law of Moses. He says, well, you know what the law says? Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. But I say what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, think about this. How difficult is it? I mean, or how easy was it for them to hate those that hate you? Is that difficult to do? I'm sorry? It's very easy to do, right? Because it's just Sometimes it comes natural to us to hate those that hate me. And you want to hurt those that hurt you or someone, you know, in your family. But what is Jesus telling them now? This is what they understand. And this is their mentality. So what is Jesus telling them now? You need to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how difficult is that? It's hard. How hard is it for you to love me? Well, you say that because you only see me twice a week. And that's what I'm getting at. You know, we have to work at it, don't we? It's not easy. Why do you think, and I'll also use this as an example, why do you think we have so many road rages? Because everybody wants to be first. Nobody wants to be wrong. We're selfish. And I'll tell you this, I feel the same way. But we don't take it to that extreme. And so this is what Jesus is teaching them with the Sermon on the Mount. He's changing all these and he says, okay, you need to love your neighbor. It's going to take more work to do that. And I've always thought about this. It takes more of a person takes more of a man to love someone who hates you than it is to hate someone who hates you. It takes more effort in our part. This is what Jesus is teaching. And so as we see, Matthew chapter 7 begins with the Beatitudes. The people were following Jesus because he wasn't only preaching to them, but he was also doing what? Healing their sick. And so there was multitudes of these people following Jesus. And Scripture says that there in Matthew that Jesus, when he preached, when he taught them, didn't teach them the way I'm teaching you. It was someone that teaching with authority. So just imagine being there on that day, listening to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching this sermon, but as the Son of God, someone with authority. This is what they saw. Do we see God? Do we see Jesus in the same way? With the one with the authority? When we read the Scripture? Or do we take it upon ourselves and do what I think is right? And so these are just some of the things that we see that are happening here in Matthew chapter 7. And he says something that I wasn't able to talk about the last time I taught this lesson was Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Well, let's begin with verse 13, because these are some of the thoughts that still apply. Applies to us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He tells them, as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." So Jesus is telling them, you need to enter into what? the straight gate. He says, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Once again, we can apply the example that we just used. It's easier to do evil to them than do evil to you. Jesus is saying here, he says, okay, wide is the gate and easy is to go through that gate. How do we apply what Jesus is saying here now? How can we apply this to our lives? Yes, sir. Okay. Any other comment? Yes, ma'am. Okay. And so it's easier to go to the what? Through the wide gate, isn't it? Because it seems like everybody's walking down that wide gate. There's no resistance when we walk down that wide gate. Everybody's doing it. Because this is what Jesus is saying. He says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. At the last part of verse 13, and many there be which go in thereat. So we need to analyze our lives today. We need to see where we stand before God. We see so many things happening in our world. And I hear people always say this. I don't believe it when they say, well, times, you know, are harder now than they were then. You know, evil is evil. And there will always be evil in this world. But it's the choice that we make. And so what Jesus is telling us is that just because everyone is walking down that wide path doesn't necessarily mean that we have to walk down that same path. Like our brother said, like Kevin said, you know, Jesus has a plan of salvation. Jesus has his instructions, the words, God's word, to lead us to life. And we see that what Jesus says here, he says that this road, that wide road, leads what to what? To destruction. So it's not very difficult to understand, is it? So how can we apply it now to our life? Brother Joe, you had a comment earlier.
There's no place to go out of here. It's a way. So we have to
John chapter 14, and these are verses that we read frequently, beginning with verse 1, and I'll let you make a comment in just a minute. Let me just read this, then I'll forget. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. At this time, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's going to be crucified, and he tells his disciples, he tells them, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. He's preparing them. He says, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so it's through Jesus Christ that we find salvation. And there's no other way. There's no other road. That wide road that we see, like we just read, and Jesus says leads to what? To destruction. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'd like to, these verses came to mind, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, beginning with verse 26. Here the writer of Hebrews talks about those of us that have already obeyed the gospel and still willfully continue in sin, choose to continue in sin. He says here, beginning with verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, pay attention to this, because he's comparing this for those of us that sin willfully, knowingly, that what we're doing is wrong after we have obeyed the truth, obeyed the gospel. He compares it to Moses, and what does he say about Moses and the law? If you broke the law, what's he saying? You receive what? No mercy. So compare that to God telling us what will happen to us if we sin willfully. before God. Let's continue reading. Verse 28, he that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was the law. Without mercy. Verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be? Let me begin again. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under the foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. So what is the writer of Hebrew telling us here? That if we sin willfully, what's going to happen? Eternal punishment. It's as easy as that. Now, I also hear a lot of people say, well, then God is not a God of love. You know, if he's going to punish people. But we read what the writer of Hebrews said. He says, you know, if you broke the law of Moses, that punishment was justified because of your sin of breaking the law. And so he's telling us here, he says, okay, so if we're breaking God's law at this time, then what do we deserve? And it's not something that God is willing for you to get that eternal punishment. But it's something that we deserve. Can we understand that? It's not God saying, okay, I'm going to punish you just because. No. It's if we are punished, it's because we deserve to be punished. How many of us, as children, when we were being punished by our parents, thought that we were guilty? Nobody. I was always the good child, if you believe that. But this is our way of thinking. You know, we think, well, so why is God, why do they say that God is the God of love? But what we get is what we deserve. And that's the point that the writer of Hebrews is making here. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Yes, ma'am. Okay, and we to back up what was said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And this is talking about God. And he says, God is what? He is long-suffering. What do we understand by long-suffering? Patient. So who is God being patient with? With you and me. And the whole world. God is being patient with you. Does God want to destroy us? Does God want us to have eternal punishment? No, that's not what God wants. God wants us to have eternity with Him. That's the plan of salvation for you and for me. And let me just read this. So the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? To repentance. And so when we refuse to obey the gospel, when we refuse to live a godly life, a righteous life, the punishment that we get is what we deserve. You can't blame it on anyone else but ourselves. Yes, sir, John. And that's the choice that we make. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. What does Romans chapter 6, verse 23 say? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verse 21. And this is why I also try to remind myself and ask myself, where do I stand right now before God? Okay, and I think we all need to be asking ourselves that question daily. Because Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, how easy is it to walk that straight and narrow path? Because he says here, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Yes, sir. What we can say is we can know the Bible from A to Z. But if we do not apply it to our lives, does it do you any good? James, what does James say about faith? Faith without works is what? Is dead. So if we say that we have faith, I believe in God, how do I need to show my faith to God? It's through my works. Sometimes we don't have to preach. We don't have to say a word, just by your actions. And so, faith without works is death. Going back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is what Jesus says after he's preached the Sermon on the Mount. After the do's and the don'ts. Do this, don't do that. This is what you need to do. You need to obey. This is what he says. Therefore, and I'm reading Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So, which are we? Are we that wise man that has taken those words spoken by Jesus and put them to action in our daily lives? Or are we that what? What is he? What's the other word he uses? That foolish man that hears them but does not apply these words. And so Jesus says after he's preached the Sermon on the Mount, if you hear my words, if you've heard what I've said, and you apply them, you are a wise man. But you are wise before God. And I've always thought about this, is that we can have all the knowledge in the world, but wisdom is the ability to get that knowledge and learn to apply it in our lives. Yes, sir. And we'll end with this. We've got 5 minutes before we end our class. You know that God's Word, we have it already, don't we? It tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. So we're already being judged. God's Word's already, we should be able to know, okay, how am I living my life? Check it with, compare it to Scripture. Am I living my life according to Scripture? And if we're not, then we need to make some changes. And so Jesus compares us, and he says to them, he says, if you listen to my words, you are wise. But if you don't, you are foolish. And the last thing that we can say here is we see that two houses are being built. He says that one was built where? On a rock. Which rock should we build upon? Jesus Christ. That's what we've been saying all along. If we build upon the sand, what's going to happen? Have we ever built upon the sand? Anything? And I'll give you an example. At the house where we used to live, I had brought a pile of sand because I don't know what I was doing. Making some concrete for a sidewalk or something. I don't remember what it was for. But I had a pile of sand left. And my thinking was, okay, well, I don't want to let it go to waste. So I just spread it down my driveway. So guess what happened? Every time it rains, every time, what happens to that driveway? Was it a solid driveway? No. Every time you'd pull in, you'd sink. So think about this. What are we building our house upon? Upon a rock or sand? Because Jesus also makes that comparison here. When the rains descend, and it's not a matter of if, but when the rains descend, when things happen in your lives, if our faith is in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, we will what? Remain standing. But if we fail to do that, then we will fall. That will end our class for this morning. Thank you for your comments. And hopefully that we could use God's Word and apply it in our daily lives. Thank you very much.